Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. April is Autism Awareness Month, and I am devoting many of the shows this month to autism and Asperger's. Now more than ever, there are wonderful sources of information about autism and Asperger's. One of my favorites is the Autism Asperger's Digest magazine, the first national magazine on autism spectrum disorders. And joining us now to tell us all about it is Veronica Zisk, the managing editor. Veronica Zisk has been working in the field of autism since 1991. She served as Executive Director of the Autism Society of America from 1991 to 1996, and then joined Future Horizons, moving into editorial position with the company in 1999 as Managing Editor and Visionary for the first national magazine on autism spectrum disorders. Under her direction, the magazine has captured the multiple gold awards for excellence, including the distinction of being the only product ever to win a gold award 3 consecutive years in the National Parenting Publications Resources Awards competition. Veronica continues as editor of the Digest today, in addition to her writing collaborations with best-selling autism author Ellen Nussbaum. They co-authored 1001 Great Ideas for Teaching and Raising Children with Autism and Asperger's, and she has co-authored and or edited 14 other books on autism and Asperger's, working with noted authors such as Temple Grandin, James Ball, James Wayne, and more. Veronica, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Good morning, Lisa. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Good
today.
Morning. I'm so happy to have you on. Now, Veronica, in one of your letters from the editor, you write, quote, "We're moving out of the dark ages of autism and into a greater awareness of and appreciation for the unique talents and gifts these individuals bring to our lives. It has been a blessing to witness the growth and evolution of ideas and attitudes within our community." And I want to say that a huge part of why we're moving out of the dark ages is because of your magazine. It brings light to so many important issues, and I want to thank you for all of your work. And I'm not alone in thinking this, because I mentioned in the introduction your multiple GORD Awards for Excellence. Can you tell us about those?
Well, we were really excited when we received the 3 gold awards from NAPA. It's very much a parent-driven organization. The judges are national experts, but there are also a lot of people who are in the trenches and who want to use this type of information on a daily basis. And we were just excited to learn that we won a 4th gold award for 2010, which makes us the only product in NAPA history that's ever won this many gold awards consecutively. So we're really excited. And I think one of the things that attracts people about the magazine is this positive, practical, proactive focus that we take. When I first got involved in the field, there was very, very little information about autism. And, you know, now there are a lot of resources. It can be very overwhelming for a parent whose child has just been diagnosed to weed through all of these things. And that was one of the reasons why Ellen and I wrote the 1001 Great Ideas to help parents. But the magazine really acknowledges that living with a child on the spectrum or working with a child on the spectrum can be difficult, but it can also be equally rewarding. And if you can approach it with a healthy curiosity and understanding that there's as many positives as there are negatives to autism, then I think lives are enriched. Parents find that they learn more about themselves and their family structure and what they want in life and what they hold to be important once these kids come into their lives. So it's not doom and gloom like so many publications out there still represent autism being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you referred to this a moment ago, you know, talking about how things have changed, and that was one of my questions. What are the, you know, some of the biggest changes you've seen? And it's obviously, I think, seeing it more in a positive light, where when you first started, I'm sure there was a lot more doom and gloom.
Well, when I first started in the field, it was pretty much focused on autism. And I'm talking back in 1970, I did an independent class in my child's psych course at college on autism. And there was very little known, and it was often confused for a psychiatric disorder. It was seen totally as a behavior manifested disorder, where now we're looking at whether or not there's a biomedical component. Actually, you know, immune compromised kids who have sick bodies that are turning around and affecting them in a way that aggravates the characteristics of autism. And when you heal their body, you heal some of that autism too. So you know, it's just gone from looking at it, you know, the prognosis used to be that once a child was diagnosed and if there was more severe autism, institutionalization was the recommended course of action, and parents refused to believe that their children were just incapable. And rightfully so. And these parents were pioneers in the field about raising awareness about the capabilities that these kids have if they can be given the appropriate interventions and the appropriate services and how far they can go. It's just amazing. It's amazing to witness kids who can't talk and start talking with appropriate intervention and, you know, have social deficiencies and become more comfortable in social situations. I've known Temple Grandin since 1991, and it's amazing to see the change in her just as an adult. In terms of her social capabilities, she used to sit at a group dinner after a conference we would do, and she would hardly converse with anyone, and she, you know, didn't understand just how to be in a social situation, and now Temple is laughing, and she makes jokes, and, you know, she's comfortable. We talk on the phone, and, you know, she has interesting tidbits of, you know, observations, her typically Temple observations, you know, about the world. But it's just one of the special things, too, about kids on the spectrum. Sometimes these observations that are different from a social perspective than ours just can be spot on and show mm-hmm. us how much in our lives we get wrapped up in the social part of life.
Yeah.
and how we can step back sometimes and see a little bit more clearly when we take some of the emotions away from things. So it's actually fascinating. It's fascinating to work in this field. It's fascinating to work with the authors, and some of them are on the spectrum. Other ones are parents who contribute articles to us, and then we have professionals in the field that, you know, that do regular columns or they write for the magazine. But really the focus is always positive. It's positive, it's practical, it's what you can do today to help your child, you know, and a strong you can do it attitude pervades the magazine. So
yeah, well, exactly. Well, that's what parents need, because it is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love, you know, this issue this month, March, April, is filled with wonderful articles and stories of inspiration. And, you know, one of the ones I especially liked, several, it was hard to choose, was I Wish I May, I Wish She Might Sleep Tonight, an interview with Emily Gerson-Sains, one of the executive producers of the HBO film Temple Grandin, which, by the way, my husband and I were just glued to the set. Oh, my gosh, that movie was so fantastic. And I had the honor of interviewing Temple about it, and that was such a thrill. And Off We Go, 7 Ways to Enjoy a Family Holiday, which is with the child with autism, with this so pertinent right now with Passover and Easter and everything,
mm-hmm.
and then summer holidays coming up, 4th of July, and it's such good hands-on information that really makes a difference in people's lives.
Thank you. You know, and we get letters from time to time from parents, and they'll make comments about, you know, your magazine has changed my child's life. It's changed our perspective towards autism. And that's really, I mean, those are the emails that come to us and make
mm-hmm.
everything that you do on a daily basis worth doing.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you and other folks that come on the show to talk about autism. I've received letters like that, and it's because of the people that I invite on. And so I know your show is so important, and it's just so needed. You know, I mean, my daughter is, it's a big debate if she's on or off, but she definitely is a quirky little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely these issues
mm-hmm.
affect her and affect us.
Parents on the spectrum, mm-hmm. you know, it's still difficult to take kids out into public sometimes, and bystanders just don't understand if
no.
a meltdown happens. And it can happen because our world is loud and bright
yes.
and chaotic. And for a child on the spectrum who often has sensory issues, it can just be very, very difficult to live within. And, you know, people don't understand yet. But there are resources, and there's so much more now than there used to be, and there's a lot of quirky kids. But for me, quirky, I'd rather have a quirky child any day than someone who just kind of fits the mold and doesn't have any personality, because these are the kids that grow up and, you know, stand out. They do.
Oh, yeah.
Stand out in a positive way.
Oh, my daughter is a crack up. I mean, she's very bright, and the words and the puns and the things she comes up with and the things she notices that I wouldn't notice if she hadn't pointed them out, it definitely makes
mm-hmm.
her, even though we're all tired, Definitely.
all tired.
Yes. We're tired but enriched around here. What sets your magazine apart from some other autism publications?
Well, I think that we're practical is one. Some of the other magazines are focused on what's going on Capitol Hill or, you know, what's going on in their membership if they're association-related publications, or they're dealing with some of the large controversial issues that awareness changes almost on a daily basis about these things as different research studies are done. So we really stay focused on, you know, providing real life information for meeting the real life challenges of autism. So we're looking and we present articles on behavior management, whether it's in the classroom or it might be handling that meltdown in the grocery store, or, you know, language and communication issues, what you can do at home to help your child who's struggling with language to speak or to communicate, just to communicate even if the child is nonverbal. And we talk about some of the social skills deficits. We talk about homework plans. We talk about, you know, recreation programs and things. So it's really all about the daily life in the trenches with a child on the spectrum and things you can do to, you know, enrich your life, help your child learn, help you learn more about the disorder and how it manifests itself. Because education, knowledge in education really is power when it comes to this disability. Because
it sure is.
Very different. Every child is different. There's really no two kids that manifest symptoms in the same degree and the same, you know, profile of characteristics. And so parents are left to figure out a lot of it on their own. And it helps when you have resources that you know, will say, okay, well, I could try this or I can try that. You know, this is helpful for me. So that's really what we're focused on. And that's really kind of what sets us apart from the other magazines, that singular focus.
That's terrific. I actually got an email from, because I post a lot that, you know, who's coming up on the show. A man named Jeff emailed, and he said that, you know, he had written a short story with an autism theme that's gotten quite a bit of rave reviews, and he didn't know if there was a way that he can, you know, can people submit things that they think might be of interest to your readers? How does that work?
We love submissions. we have a spot that on our website, which is www.autismdigest.com, and there's a tab on the left side that says submissions, and we have some submission guidelines, and they talk about the type of articles we look for, word count, things like that, and then there's how to submit an article, and usually it's just an email attachment that comes to me. But we welcome articles from first-time writers, from, you know, parents who have something that they'd like to say. And it can be a story. It can be, a more educational article. It could be five things I do to help myself get through the summer vacation when my child is not in school anymore, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It can be directed to parents. It can be, about personal experiences. And sometimes we have what we call news bites in the magazine, and these are just short little 100, 150-word suggestions. They're like little tips that parents share with other parents and things like that. So we love submissions. We love submissions from people on the spectrum.
That's great. Oh, I'm so glad. You know, I also wanted to mention that he started on Facebook a group called Artists and Autism, and he said it's quickly accumulated 2,000 fans already with an incredible diversity of art and fiction. So I just wanted to throw that out, that if people are on Facebook and they want to look up Artists and Autism, that sounded really interesting. Now, you have a special offer for the listeners of It's Your Health, if you can tell us about that.
Yes, we'd be happy to send any listener a free sample copy of the magazine.
Oh,
and if they will just go to our website, and there's a link to contact us, and one that comes directly to me, and it'll be editor@autismdigest.com. Just send us their name and address and mention the radio show, and we'd be happy to send them one of our more recent 2010 issues.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, how do people subscribe?
They can do that through the website.
Okay.
There's subscription information there. We publish 6 issues a year, and they're jam-packed full of information, and a 1-year subscription is $29.95. So it's really
great.
Reasonable.
Wow.
Postage. Yes. Yeah. So
it sure is.
Yep. So,
well, that's terrific. Veronica, I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I want everyone to keep listening, because in a moment, the woman that you wrote the wonderful book with, 1001 Great Ideas for Teaching and Raising Children with Autism or Asperger's, is going to be here, Ellen Knottbaum, and that book is fantastic. It just has everything.
Yeah, Ellen's a wonderful woman. You're going to enjoy talking with her.
Well, I want to thank you again. You can give the website one more time.
It's www.autismdigest.com.
All right, well, everyone, keep listening to Ellen, and thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks, Lisa.